the roll, please.
Councilmember Joan Hanson.
Here.
Councilmember Shirley Dowdy.
Present.
Mayor Ronald Ertley.
Here.
Councilmember Douglas Dunn.
Here.
Councilmember Serena Sullivan.
Here.
City staff Justin Johnson, city manager Ashley Coronado, city clerk Aldo Orduño, city attorney.
Thank you very much. Item number one is a presentation from the Arizona Department of Transportation Community Affairs staff regarding projects and initiatives. I would like to introduce from the Arizona Department of Transportation, Kathy Boyle. Just a little background, Kathy Boyle, Public Affairs Manager with the Arizona Department of Transportation, would like to share with the Bisbee community various projects and initiatives that influence our community. In addition, this is an opportunity to provide feedback to the agency from representatives of our community with the goal of continuously improving our relationship and level of communication with ADOT. Kathy Boyle.
Mayor, thank you so much for letting us use this work session to give you an update. You're first council to receive the 2015 presentation. I gave a presentation, and Jackie Watkins, who's our assistant senior district engineer from Safford District, is joining me as well. We gave presentations to the Kiwanis in, I think it was April, and Rotary in May. And then tomorrow night, Jackie and I will be returning to Bisbee to give a presentation to the iBisbee Economic Development Committee. But we want to make sure we saw you all saw this before iBisbee saw this, and giving you an idea of, you know, the messages are pretty much haven't changed too much, but there's some new information we want to provide for you. But I think the biggest thing we want to reiterate to the community, again, how important transportation is, its driving force for our state's economy. And with that, part of it is that we're at a crossroads. Really what transportation does, it connects Arizona businesses to regional and global markets. There is a positive return on investment when it comes to transportation infrastructure, and it does improve your quality of life. And really, depicting it is really, you know, your everyday life. And we kind of use this as the circle of life. When you have a new baby, then they go on to school, and they get work, and they go to, you know, school, and then they have shopping and recreation and commerce, et cetera. And what ties it all together really is transportation. And so that's why it does add to your everyday life. And then hopefully you think about today, you travel to City Hall using your local streets. You may have been on State Route 80. But therefore, you know, it kind of behooves you to know how important transportation is to your quality of life. The value of our state system right now is valued at $19.4 billion. That's how much ADOT has spent in building our state system. And if we have decided to put more preservation and maintenance of our funding into that. So for every dollar we're putting in maintenance and preservation, we're saving $7 to $14 in replacement costs. But if we were to have it, if we let it go to waste and we had to build it again today, it would cost us $200 billion to build this system that we built for the state of Arizona. So it really is a great value, and we've tried to maintain it as best as possible. And with that, I mean, in any presentation that we've been giving these last couple of years, we've obviously wanted to give everybody a chance to understand how transportation gets funded. It really is a 1950s model. Looking at 2015, nothing really has changed, unfortunately, when it comes to how you fund transportation. The best way to describe it is you've got two major sources. You've got your federal and state gas tax. The federal tax is 18 cents a gallon, and that's when you put it in gasoline-powered vehicles. It stays constant whether the price of gas, which is now falling right now lately, is between $2 or $3 a gallon. It's 18 cents a gallon, once again. At the state level, it's also 18 cents a gallon. It is not tied to inflation, so it stays constant whether the price of gas goes up or down. When you combine the two, that makes 36 cents a gallon is what comes to ADOT to fund our transportation system. Nationally, we have the 43rd lowest gas tax in the country. For the western region, we're about 10 to 12 cents lower than what's happening on the Rocky Mountain area. And then nationwide, it's pretty much the same. It's about 47 to 49 cents on average is what the gas tax is when you average it all out. So once again, we're low. And once again, the fact is that it's a 1950s model. Gas was cheap back in the 50s, and the gas tax could go very far. What is today's situation? You have alternative fuel vehicles that don't require gas. That's a new equation added to the model, but they need a road to travel on. You have fuel efficiency in vehicles, whether it's your Prius, it's your Honda Civics, they get 30 to 40 miles to the gallon. It wasn't that in the 50s. So what ADOT has now is you have fuel efficiency in vehicles, and you have alternative fuel vehicles. And that is the equation that faces any of that, is because unfortunately those monies that go into the highway user revenue fund, and you know this so well, the city of Bisbee, is the fact that this money isn't growing, therefore the money coming down to you isn't growing either. And you're constrained as much as ADOT is, and you're having to stretch those dollars as far as you possibly can. The same thing with ADOT. When you look at the vehicle registration fees, the trends are people want to keep their vehicles longer, and so that means that, you know, something that you bought maybe in my case personally, I was driving a 1994 Nissan Maxima, and I drove it almost 200,000 miles, and 3 years ago we got me a new car. Yes, I went up a little bit higher in value of my car, and my registration went up. But when I turned it in, and when I sold it, I only had paid $40 that year in registration fees to ADOT for a vehicle that I've had that long. And that's the trend, is that because it appreciates 60% every year you own your car. So that's the trend. People want to own their cars longer, and they're very fuel efficiency. So when you look at the fund where it goes into the Highway User Revenue Fund, and you see this, that's something called the State Highway Fund, you have MAG and PAG, Statewide Roadways, and Non-Capacity Federal Programs. This is what the pie chart shows of what that all means. Basically, that entire pie chart is $890 million. The $220 million you see on the far left represents the dedicated half-cent sales tax that Maricopa County voters decided in 1994 to tax ourselves to fund our transportation system. We renewed that in 2004. Pima voters just did that in 2007 and put aside a half-cent sales tax, and that's what's helping fund their transportation system in Pima County. And you can see a lot of the expansion that they're doing on I-10. And you see the expansion that's happening up in Phoenix when you drive up to Phoenix. So that's money that ADOT collects and immediately send it over to MAG and PAG to let them decide how they wish to spend those dollars. That $100 million that you see right there, non-capacity federal programs, the feds tell us we have to spend it a certain way, like safe routes to schools. We have other programs, so we have to set aside that kind of money, and because the feds tell us we have to spend it a certain way. The other portion of it, that $285 and $285, which is about $570 million, it's something called, we split it 50-50 between rural Arizona, which we call Greater Arizona, which is the 13 rural counties, and the two larger metropolitan counties of MAG and PAG. And it's codified in state law, the fact that we're going to split it 50-50. So the $285 million, once again, goes to MAG and PAG, and because they are the operating entities that decide how to spend their transportation dollars, we let them spend it how they wish to do that for their region. The $285 million is what the State Transportation Board decides how to spend it for Greater Arizona. And that's the 13 rural counties, as I mentioned. The State Transportation Board, several years ago, made the conscious decision that instead of expanding the system, we really needed to put the monies into preservation mode. And that's why our goal every year about our construction project is to put $216 million towards pavement and preservation. That's bridge work, that's culvert work, that's everything to keep the roadway system in good condition. That leaves about $25 million to spend to expand the state system, which is to add capacity. That will give you, based on today's prices, and Jackie can correct me, that will give you about 4 miles of a new road. That will maybe give you a couple of new interchanges for 13 rural counties to fight over. And that's a dilemma facing our State Transportation Board. There's just not a lot of money right now being built up into that fund to expand the state system. And so that's a dilemma facing us, is the fact is that we really can't expand the system where we know we need to, and I'll get into what our vision is for what we would like to do. That's our five-year construction program for fiscal year 16 to 20, and you can see the pie chart represents, once again, we've set aside 68% for preservation, 24% to modernization, and 8% to expansion. There's a couple of expansion projects that are happening in rural Arizona, but the board has decided which ones really are allowing a lot of economic development opportunities. Here's what the pie chart shows for Maricopa County for the next 5 years in their construction program. You can see the expansion is 97% because of the half-cent sales tax is helping to fund that. Down the road, and basically the biggest projects are the 303 and the South Mountain Freeway, if you hear about the news up in Phoenix. Those are the two major projects. South Mountain is about $2 billion. And the preservation, that number will probably grow as we build out our system up in Phoenix. because MAG will have to start preserving the system that they've built. And so you're going to see more of the money being set aside for preservation. In the PAG region, you see 94% right now is in expansion because they've been expanding their system, especially on I-10. I will tell you, Ina Road starts next year. And for the next 2 years, and after that, it's Cruz Road. So you can expect that I-10 will be under construction through the Tucson area for the next 6 years to expand, adding a lane on each side and HOV lanes. So just be aware as you're traveling around that area of the state, you're going to see a lot of construction. And then you see modernization of 6%. But as what Governor Ducey has said, he wants Arizona to think big. And so that's what for ADOT, what we decided to do is looking at transportation as it drives economic connections, that you can see from our global map, that really, you know, where we're situated is the fact that we do want to expand our global markets going, you know, our number one trading partner is Mexico to the south, our number two trading partner is Canada to the north, and then the number third trading partner is Asia or China. And you can see by the diagram looking at the world how important it is that we stay focused on trying to expand our transportation system in order to build those global markets for our business services that we build here in Arizona. What we did is that we went around the state and started interviewing businesses that look at our transportation system, and I picked two because of their location here, and first of all, to the importance of this area of our state. And this particular business, Apple Annie Orchard, which is located in Wilcox, which is right along Interstate 10, really, as you say, serves customers with an interstate freeway. We interviewed Maggie Kirkendall, and basically from her quote there, she says, "We depend on Interstate 10 for 99% of our business. The freeway keeps our business alive, and I will guarantee you they have the best Dutch apple pie bar none. My family absolutely loves their pies. So when I'm in Wilcox, I have to stop by Apple Annie Orchard and get a pie. I'm not allowed to come home." So, but that's one of the one other business that is so important and not unfamiliar to Bisbee is the copper mining. And so we know that for Arizona, copper mining is still a huge economic contributor. And we interviewed Kelly Norton, who's executive director of the Arizona Mining Association. Her quote is, "Mining and transportation work hand in hand to move materials in and out and product out. We need reliable roads into the future." So those just two are snippets. Once again, we have a whole range of other businesses that we interviewed across the state that rely on the transportation system to work. This is, we call it our bubble map, and basically what it shows the geographical location of Arizona. We're situated between $2 trillion markets of Southern California, Los Angeles and San Diego, and Dallas and Houston. And the fact that you have that one blue arrow there, that represents one day truck ride from the Long Beach port into Arizona. The feds are telling the truckers, and it's been, I think, in 2 years now, that truckers can only be on the road a total of 14 hours in their workday. That means putting their load on the truck and then taking the load off. Once again, that's one day truck ride to Arizona. It's over 2 days to get to Texas. And so we're geographically in the best spot possible to try to move those goods and services I mentioned. We've got the emergency markets of northern Mexico, and so we really, where we're situated, we're in the best spot possible. The only other time in terms of looking at the United States where this market is situated is between Chicago and New York. It's the only time where it's replicated with those kind of market and the value and the number of people situated. Here's an example of the top five Arizona exports in the state. Looking at the total annual export value, electrical equipment has the longest of the dollar value at $11.3 billion. That represents the semiconductor business. And you can look at the annual tons as well as the annual truckloads. Farm and farm products represents the number of annual tons, and the number of total annual truckloads are the largest in that area. You've got transportation equipment, fabricated metal products, and chemicals or allied products. Those are the top five of our Arizona exports in Arizona.
Could I ask a quick question on that? These are the exports, but how dependent are the imports are in these transportation routes?
Well, very important, obviously, to bring the component parts in, especially looking at when you look at the ports between Douglas, Nogales, and San Luis, especially in Nogales where we're having a lot of the maquiladoras, where their auto industry is now situated in Hermosillo. The fact is the parts go back and forth across the port. They get assembled in Mexico, they come across here, they get it reassembled and they get shipped back to Mexico. It can happen in several days where you're having the same truck parts coming back and forth as you're making the cars down in Mexico. So it's very important when we have, you know, reliable port system where those imports are coming in.
Okay.
Here's the mark. Here's, and you have a copy of, we call it our Arizona map, of looking at our interstate system, our connections to Arizona markets. And this is what we call our key commerce corridors. And basically what we're saying is the fact that if we can build out the interstate system first, that will truly allow businesses to relocate in Arizona. We will have the marketplace availability to create the products here and ship them out if we have a really, truly strong, reliable interstate system. And the monies that we're having to spend on the interstate system today, we could spend elsewhere if we had a more dedicated funding source for key commerce corridors. We do think that I-40 and I-8 are built at capacity right now, and we're just doing preservation, so we're in good shape. It's really I-10. If you all of you travel through there, you know that we need to expand I-10. Even Tucson to New Mexico, we need to expand I-10 between Phoenix and Tucson. We still have pinch points. We've got the future I-11 that we're looking at all the way from Las Vegas all the way down to Nogales. We have the north-south corridor is a possibility. Those are the P3 options, is where you would have the private sector help provide some funding to build those if it makes sense for the state to enter into a public-private partnership into those, even I-11 as well. We just have to figure out how the dedicated funding source to pay for it. But this is what ADOT's vision is for the future. It's a $20 billion 20-year plan. It's a lot of money to think about over a time frame. We've been talking to our lawmakers, we've been talking to the Chambers of Commerce, and we're very happy to hear that the Arizona Chamber is taking this project on, and you'll see a lot of activity this next year. They call it Arizona Forward, looking at trying to build up consensus to support finding more reliable transportation investment dollars. In order to do that, what that is, I can't tell you because I'm not here to tell you whether there's going to be any kind of increases anywhere. I'm just saying the fact is that the gas tax is no longer the workforce it was designed to be. The registration fees, they are what they are. We have to build our transportation system. We need to find more reliable funding sources, and we believe key commerce corridors will allow us to do that if we can find the funding source to build out the interstate system in our state. We will then have more dollars available to us to take care of 191, 80, any of the roads that are in southeast Arizona, and I know they're critical for all of you, in improving the port at Douglas, Nogales, and San Luis, but especially Douglas. We know how important Douglas is serving as a conduit for a lot of the mining equipment that's going back and forth. We know we need a new port in Douglas. We need to find the help for the feds to figure out how to pay for it.
Can I back up a little bit and ask a
sure.
question? How closely do you work with the Federal Highway Department?
They're our partners. They're our federal
okay.
partners, absolutely.
We're talking about creating new transportation routes, but I was in Wilcox a month or two ago. Went up with Councilmember Dowdy, and we noticed the emergency lane as you go east from Texas Canyon. Seems like there was a lot of grass growing in that. Seems like we got to take care of what we have first before we move on. I mean, you have an opinion on that? I'm not an expert in this.
In terms of looking at the landscaping that's along
that grass growing out to the road?
Yeah.
In the emergency lane. I don't think that's a good thing, is it?
No, it isn't.
Okay.
Jackie can get into that, but the problem is we have very little equipment we have to share.
Was it growing in the shoulder and the asphalt dust and that? Especially if it's during the monsoon, you can't cut it quick enough. You cut the grass and next week you have to cut it again and there's not enough people.
Yeah.
No, that's not good.
No, it's not good.
A council member from Benson that I ran into a month or so ago was mentioning somewhere along that route on his way to Tucson, he noticed a few small trees actually growing in that emergency lane. So it seems like that is an effort that needs to be looked at, something that needs to be looked at. One other quick question.
Sure.
It seems to me that the Federal Highway Fund, correct me if I'm mistaken, once again, I'm not an expert in this, with the budget has been increased from $41 billion a year to $49 billion a year up to the year 2020. But there's 2 points there. Number one, I presume that might keep up with inflation, but the states that are growing in population, it didn't seem like that aspect of it was taken into consideration when the allocations to the various states was taking place. Do you have a thought on that, or am I mistaken, or what?
Mayor, it's a challenge for those of us that are growing state and the power of the eastern states and the ability to secure more of the federal dollars. I will tell you, though, for ADOT, we're kind of blessed. It's a curse and a blessing, because the fact is that for every dollar we're sending to Washington, we're getting 94 cents back. The other 6% represents the federal lands. And the fact that there are other states that have to put up more money than what we have to because they have less federal land, so it's a blessing, but then again, it's a curse, because we're not getting a true one-to-one, where there's some states that are getting, they put a dollar in and they get $1.20. And part of it is the fact is it's their allocation and their power in Congress.
I understand.
And there are some states that have more power than we do.
Yeah.
They can take their more dollars than we can.
Thank you. That was what I thought.
Yes. So, once again, hopefully, from the global view of where we're at with ADOT in our transportation system, that you see it's important that we do invest in transportation. Once again, I think you'll see, hopefully, more conversations happening from our state legislature as well as Congress dealing with, especially right now with the Highway Trust Fund, is the fact that they do have to deal with the Highway Trust Fund, that Congress does eventually, because we're going to run out of money again. They gave us 3 months. Is what they did, and now that the recess is over for August, they're going back, and they've got to figure it out by the end of October again. Otherwise, they may give us another extension. We're on our 34th extension. It's very hard to plan long-term projects when you don't know how much federal dollars are going to come to you, when they only give you 3 months of, basically a guarantee, okay, we can fund you for 3 months. Kind of hard to plan long-term, and that's what projects are, unfortunately, in transportation. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes so long because of all the regulations we have to follow, and you all know this as well. So it's a challenge for all of us to work through the issues, but we value the partnership we have with the city of Bisbee, and we see, hopefully, your folks tomorrow night at iBisbee with the Economic Development Committee will see how important transportation plays a role in economic development, and that they can obviously help the conversation down here to talk to their policymakers here to really focus in on transportation at the state level because they do need to start addressing it. So with that, if there's any more questions, if not, I'd like to give Jackie a few minutes to give you an update on local projects. I know there's a lot happening that she would like to give you a local update there as well.
So. Questions from the council?
Yeah.
And or Council Member Sullivan?
Yeah. Hi, Kathy.
Hi there.
Thank you for your presentation. I was trying to follow along as best I could with the MAGPAG and all that.
Yes.
But could you tell me what those two acronyms stand for?
Certainly. MAG stands for the Maricopa Association of Governments. And those would be all of the jurisdictions up in Maricopa County. And MAG is the entity that oversees their transportation planning. And so we work with MAG as a partner with us as ADOT at the local level. Same thing, PEMA Association of Governments stands for PAG, PEMA Association of Governments. So it represents the Pima County area and their jurisdictions, and they meet as elected officials and decide how they're going to spend their transportation dollars that they get from the state as well as the feds.
Great. I was also curious with your investment plans and everything.
Okay.
Is there anything allocated out of these different categories in the pie for public transportation? Do you guys have grants and things like that you offer? Or is that part of the local thing?
Based on for the Highway User Revenue Fund, the state constitution says that we have to spend the money on roads. We cannot spend it on transit. However, we're kind of a conduit of transit dollars that come in from the feds, and we have a transit program, and then we work with our community partners as City of Bisbee or other partners to spend those transit dollars at the local level, but we, for ADOT, we cannot spend the dollars we get out of her, we cannot spend it on transit. We're prohibited by the Constitution.
Okay, yeah, I was just curious, because I know there was a program, and I thought it was associated with you guys, so you guys, you're kind of a conduit?
We're kind of a pass-through. We get the monies, and we kind of help work with all of the partners that do the local transit, and then, divvy up the monies accordingly, according to how the Federal Transit Association wants, helps us you know, allocate those dollars. Am I right, Debbie?
I think so.
That's how I understand. I don't get too much in the transit area.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions from the council? Questions from staff? We have Mr. Andy Heradic. Why don't you go up to the podium so we can hear your question? Andy's from the Public Works Department.
Hi there, how are you?
It's good to see you up here. Kathy, where do we go as a city to determine what it's legal for us to spend HERF money on?
Wait, Rob, outside of statute?
Well, because there are some limitations on what we can do with HERF money as a city.
Yeah.
But where do we go to find out what those what the proposals are?
It should be
entitled
to the
Yeah.
That was my question.
Okay. Yeah.
My big question is, I have a question on streetlights and retaining walls.
The retaining wall is not the streets, and the street doesn't collapse. The net is a maintenance issue.
Why don't we use the microphone at the podium? I got dead air. I worked in radio. As a super no-no, I'd get fired.
Retaining walls, if it's to hold up the road and stuff, yes, that would qualify.
It hasn't been the past. That's why I'm bringing it up.
If it's a retaining wall just as a flood control thing, though.
Old Disney has retaining walls holding
up neighborhood streets. Mr. Heradic, why don't you go up there, too? Ladies answer.
In the past, we were led to believe that we couldn't use HERF money on neighborhood streets to hold up retaining walls. So, and then my other question was on streetlights. We spend a lot of money out of our HERF money funding streetlights. The streetlights was a little, that question was a little easier to answer on Title 28. The retaining wall question was a little more difficult to come up with a straight answer.
I can look that up.
So streetlights and intercity retaining walls.
Streetlights, because we put in streetlights on our projects.
I know.
Yeah. So that they do. For safety.
I'm glad I'm not on that.
Yes,
Justin. Mayor, members of the council, I have a question. What role does what role does Bisbee play as it relates to the overall economic development efforts from a transportation standpoint? When you look at the corridors like in Mexico, Hermosillo, mm-hmm. or any of the other major corridors, I know one of the major issues that we have in Bisbee from an EV standpoint is the lack of highways, rail, airport. Is there any conversation about how Bisbee can be a part? I know we have the port of entry, so is there anything that we can do to really be a part of the conversation as it relates to economic development efforts at the state level?
I would say, Justin, the fact is having the conversation with the policymakers, first of all, we've got to increase the funding. That's paramount. We've got to increase the infrastructure spending that can happen in our state, and that is tied to our policymakers. They're the ones that decide basically the funding sources. And for ADOT, we cannot create new funding sources to fund transportation. It's going to have to come from our policymakers. So the critical thing is to have your community leaders start the conversation and really push the need to invest more in transportation and to find more reliable funding sources for us to work with and then partnering with you on that. That's first thing that I can think of right off the bat. Obviously, Bisbee is really important in terms of, for Southern Arizona, it's extremely important in the MAC and the industry sectors that you're trying to attract. It can totally relate to the needs that you need to have a better infrastructure system. And so that's from the courts, that's from improvements on 80, improvements on 191, that kind of thing. We do understand all that, but it's all coming down to money and what we can do.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the council and or staff? No?
You're probably happy to hear that Highway 80 will finish paving the main line, hope, next week. There'll still be some delay in tracks, on 80, because there's still some guardrail and some minor drainage improvements. The project that we have in Bisbee itself is the sidewalk project that's going to be on Highway 92 in front of Safeway there. that was in design, and we went back to take into consideration some of the drainage issues there that's crossing from the, you know, from the north side to the east or to the south side there. Some of those houses have been flooded. So they're going back to look at that drainage. So that project's been delayed about a year. But that project is still going. It's still, you know, part of the books to put the sidewalk in there. The other project that will be coming up next year in the fall would be the bridge on Highway 92 over the San Pedro. That bridge will be replaced like we did on Highway 90. So that would be a one lane of traffic for about a year, you know, back and forth on that one. We'll have a traffic signal on that project too. And the other issue is that Safford District, ADOT as an agency, is has redistricted. They're changing boundaries. You know, if it's, you know, less money, you have to change your staffing. So Safford District is no longer having St. David Maintenance Area, which is Sierra Vista, Benson, and Tombstone. But we're gaining Globe and Roosevelt Area. So we're expanding. It was 9 districts, and now there'll be 7 districts. And that takes effect October 1st. But for you, it'll still be Safford District. And then the other project we have is Tombstone on Highway 80. If you've been through Tombstone, you've noticed there. And what we're doing there is sort of what we did here on Arizona Street, where we put, you know, planters and stuff. And so the area that had no parking there on between 3rd and 6th on Fremont, we're putting in planters, you know, curb and gutter and planters, so people can't park. You know, there won't just be hatched out mark on the asphalt to be plants. So that's the major thing that's happening in Tombstone. And that will go till probably April of next year. But those are the major ones. We don't have a lot of projects in this area at the moment.
Any questions from the council? Councilmember Hanson.
Thank you. And I'm not really sure what I'm asking first, okay? My understanding is that there's been a lot of talk and a lot of request for a bike path on 80 around the pit. Have you guys gotten anything on that?
It's been discussed. The more letters you send ADOT to Bill Harmon, the district engineer, the higher it gets up on the list. Because that, personally, I think that's kind of a pretty much doable thing to do because mm-hmm. it's so wide there. And I know there's people that walk from up there. And you know, when you're coming down around the pit, that sidewalk, if you want to call it that, is only 3 feet wide.
And it goes from one side to the other.
Yes.
In the middle of the...
So, you know, to get it more on the radar screen, if you write letters, then that would help. You know, we do things on a 5-year plan, so if it was a major project, it would be at least 5 to 6 years out. Because the transportation boards, they, you know, to get it funded and to get it designed, but you have to start sometime.
So that request has been in, and we just need to follow.
We have discussed it as a district.
Okay.
We have. I'm not sure if there's been a formal request put in,
okay.
But I know we've discussed it. I'm from Bisbee, so I.
I know it's been discussed, and
yeah.
I keep hearing it come up.
But I don't know if it's.
But I guess I'm looking
requested.
For what's the mechanism to get it in the mix, and talked about at a higher level.
This formal request to the district to please look at it, see if you can get it on the plan.
Okay. Councilmember Klein.
Thank you.
Just to answer Ms. Hanson, we did discuss this probably about. I don't know, 15, 16 years ago, and they looked at it. I don't think Jackie was with them at the time. And they looked at it, and they were one of the issues that kept coming up was the fact that we would lose a lane. And with the semis and everything coming down, that it could pose a problem. And that was always the stumbling block right there, was the fact that we would lose a lane.
But there's more federal guidance now from 15 years ago mm-hmm. on road diets, so they could look at it again and restudy it to see if it would work.
If it's been 15 years, I think we need to look at it again.
Councilmember Sullivan, you had a question, I bet.
Yeah, I have two questions. One about the project you said for Highway 92, expanding the bridge to 2 lanes.
No, it's not to 2 lanes. It's just building a new bridge, because that bridge needs to be rehabbed
The one that goes through on Hereford Road?
No, no, that's a county bridge. On Highway 92 itself. In Palominas.
Okay. I don't know why I can't.
The one in Hereford Road is the county one.
Okay.
That one was just built 10 years ago.
And on Highway 80 heading east towards Douglas, right in front of Saginaw area, the speed limits and things like that, they are, it's 45 in front of a residential neighborhood. It seems like it would be beneficial to move the 35, because it switches to 35 like maybe like 200 meters forward, but it seems like the sign needs to be changed so it's 35 a little bit sooner, because there's, you know, it's a residential neighborhood.
You can request just ADOT to do another speed study there.
Okay.
Knowing the backlog of speed studies, it's probably 6 months to a year before it was got to, but you can request and they'll do, they'll relook at the speed.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Yes, Councilmember Dunn.
Yes, I'd like to continue with Councilperson Hansen's comments, and that is that certainly in some years back, Tombstone went from a four-lane going through town to two, and I've always wondered why we aren't doing something similar in terms of going from a four to a two or a three that would allow room for sidewalk and bicycles. Currently now we have a lane that always, I think, confuses everyone. It mysteriously appears in front of the mine tour and then mysteriously with no signage disappears as you go under, you know, as you go under the little overpass at Lowell. And certainly in that location in particular, there's no signage. I mean, there continuously, if there's two cars coming down at that point, there's always a question in terms of who has the right of way. What are we supposed to do at that point? And so it would seem to me that lane could be easily removed and used for a better purpose. It still might allow two lanes going up and a single lane, which is how it comes, how it approaches Bisbee, going down. It just seems to me to be an odd arrangement as it currently is.
Yeah, we can look at that. Yeah, just, you know, send a letter to a request for a study.
Another dream of mine is the area which is the 80 DOC right-of-way at the entrance to Old Bisbee off of Highway 80, which is basically from both directions. It comes off if you're coming down the hill in front of the mine tour. If you're coming in, of course, it's coming right in on Knocko Road. And that is the possibility of the city then acquiring some suggestions, I guess, in terms of the use of that that right-of-way. I think we're getting ready to do some new paving, and this would be an excellent opportunity to do what's often called as a gateway to Bisbee, and you have some right-of-way there that could be very useful in terms of added parking as well as park area for welcoming people to Bisbee.
Just put it in as a request, and you know, we could look at it, because you know, in St. David, before you know you're going east and you turn, you know, they have those trees there and that park light. I mean, it's not a park that you'd actually go on because it's in between the two lanes, but that does enhance St. David because of those, you know, the trees that they have there. So if you want something like that, you know, draw up something that what you envision. I can't say we would do it, but you know, there's right-of-way permits that. You know, sometimes, I mean, Wachuca City, they just did an enhancement project, and they have new signs going in for them. And Bisbee's trying to get signs for coming into Bisbee at the top of the tunnel, too, that's in the works.
Also, I just want to share with you, you're talking about what Pima County and Maricopa County has done. Certainly the citizens of Bisbee last year did adopt a 1% increase in sales tax for street improvement. So we certainly very strongly believe in the importance of transportation and our economic development as well as the livability of our community.
Any other questions from Councilmember Dowdy?
You said that there is a drainage problem there at Highway 92 and NACO Highway, which prevents that work being done out there. Where is the drainage?
It's east of Safeway on the south side of the road. It's in between NACO and the storage units there. Mm-hmm. There's a business there. I think it's a business there. And so we're going to do the sidewalk project. It's just, do we need to put in some storm drains? Do we need to do something else with it so that we can maybe try to lessen the flooding that's happening when the water's coming across the road? Because the water's crossing the road at that location.
Okay.
But we still are doing the sidewalk project and lights.
But we don't have a time frame.
Last I heard was next year. It was supposed to be next year, so... That's probably true. Next fall is what I'm assuming.
Any other questions or comments from the council? Do we have a motion? I want to thank the representatives from ADOT being here tonight. We're very pleased that you came and did this presentation. Mr. Hradik?
We don't always get the opportunity to meet with ADOT this closely, so... I want to get this clear in my head. In conversations with Mark Harmon, our district manager, he has stated that he feels that there is room for a bike lane coming around the pit. Now, so am I right to suggest that perhaps a request from mayor and council would have more weight behind it than Andy Hradik writing a letter and asking Mark if we could even look into it?
Yes, it would have more weight, and I thought there was room, too. That's why I don't want to say, because I haven't actually done the study, but just visually looking at it, I thought there was room to provide something, you know, with some change of lane widths, but that's not public.
You know, in the MUT manual on uniform traffic control, the MUTC, in the highway Bible, you know, a lot of road widths are determined by the speed, and that's that the posted speed limit around the pit is slow enough you don't have to have 20 lane, 25 foot lane roads. And in fact, what we do find even in urban situations that a narrower road has a tendency to slow people down. The wider the road, the faster people often go. But once you narrow that road down, with that narrowness comes the slowness and speed, so a narrower lane might not be bad. It might actually get people to stay within 10 miles of the speed limit instead of 15 or 20. Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other comments or questions from the council? Do we have a motion? Once again, thank you, ladies, very much. We appreciate that, taking your time to do this presentation. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. This meeting is adjourned.